And so, Clyde, the one thing I want you to share or discuss is the penalty period for Star Plus waiver, for giving away assets and then qualifying for Star Plus waiver.
5 years. Unfortunately, we have what I think is a terrible mistake that our Medicaid program has made, that they've interpreted the federal statute on transfer penalty to mean that the transfer penalty begins when you otherwise would have been eligible, and they've interpreted that to mean when you met all the requirements, including getting through the process. Well, you can't get through the process without spending down, you just can't do it in the Star Plus waiver program. The transfer penalty requirements were written for the nursing home situation, where it's clear when someone meets all the other requirements apart from the transfer penalty, for some reason they just cannot interpret it that way. I hope we'll someday have a case on it, but we don't at this point. So we have to be really careful with transfers and in the planning process for people who are planning for any waiver program, including Star Plus waiver.
So going back to a couple of slides back when we were talking about going through the different programs, there's some home-based programs that you can apply for that don't have a penalty period. There's a look-back period, but not a penalty period. But if you qualify your client, for example, community care for the aged and disabled, and there's no transfer penalty, and then later on they need Star Plus waiver, you may have put your client in a very serious and dire situation. Okay. So a couple of other terms to know. Deeming, it's a term by Social Security where another person's income is counted as that applicant's income. And we typically see this in my office, where clients have tried to apply for SSI for a minor child, but because that minor child is under the age of 18, the parental income is counted or deemed towards that minor child, putting them over the income cap. And then we have assets. So assets, things that you own. Here's the bad news for clients. This may be a second or third marriage, and you may have a separate property agreement, but guess what? Medicaid's going to want to know all the assets of that married couple, regardless of what you did on the family law side. And the Medicaid's going to divide the things that that client owns into two categories. Countable assets, which are going to be limited and will be dependent on the marital situation, the income, and a whole bunch of other pieces of information that Clyde's going to go over with you in just a second. And then exempt assets, and these are going to be valued at zero. And the one thing I just want to make a note is the homestead. You can own a home. That was one of the questions I had in a client this week, is they were told by a nursing home social worker that if they had a home, they wouldn't be eligible for Medicaid at all, never, ever, ever. So a lot of our job is just correcting misconceptions that clients have picked up along the way from well-meaning social workers, nursing homes. And also a car can be of any value, and also a pre-need funeral contract. And then we have an income test, and this is going to vary from program to program. This is going to be the amount of income. Remember, you need to look up what the definition of income is for that particular program is, that a person can have and still qualify for benefits. Okay. So then we have something that's called a spousal allowance. And I explain this to clients. It's kind of like alimony, but being married. And it means that you have one client that's applying for benefits, and there's a community spouse, and you're able to shift income from the person applying to benefits to the community spouse. And then we're going to talk a little bit about assets, how you are able to keep assets. But typically, and this is what I think, it's a little bit misleading, these numbers that say that the minimum amount a person has to spend down to is $27,000 and change, and that the maximum that they can have is $137,000 and change. Because, Clyde, there's ways for us to increase this, the protected resource amount for clients.
I'm sorry.
There's a... There are ways for us to protect the amount of countable assets a person can have and still qualify for Medicaid.
Sure, and there are ways of increasing that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. When the income is low, when the incomes of both spouses, non-investment incomes of both spouses, are below $3,435 a month, then in most cases we can protect all of the assets.
Yes. And then we're also going to talk about how Star Plus Waiver can be used, or actually you're going to talk about how Star Plus Waiver can be used to protect many more assets. So here's the thing. Here's the takeaway for new practitioners. These numbers may seem low, and they may seem like this is bad news for clients, but this is why we're practitioners. We are going to learn the rules, and then we're going to figure out strategies so that we're able to allow our clients to keep more accountable assets, so that maybe the wife who's living at home and her husband's in a nursing facility has assets to live on, and maybe she's never or ever going to be able or need to qualify for Medicaid. So that's why we have to kind of go through some of these definitions so that we're able to understand and make meaningful plans for our clients. Okay. This is usually the slide I start out with. I kind of change things up this year. But the biggest public benefit I think people are familiar with is Social Security. And what I tell clients is that there's many roads to Social Security. And here are two of the roads. Number one is, and of course, we're thinking of a disability context here, not a retirement context. Here we're thinking about Social Security disability that's based on the amount of money that you've paid into the Social Security, and SSI, which is for people who have not worked enough. We have a slides coming up here in just a second. But the takeaway on this slide is you can have both. And the other thing I want to mention here is you can also have Medicare and Medicaid at the same time. I had a social worker tell one of my clients recently that you can't be on Medicare and Medicaid at the same time, and that's not correct. There's a whole term for that. It's called dually eligible.